by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine, that time in the morning where we are expected to rise and shine and wake up and be fresh, inshallah. Today we've got another awfully interesting topic for you, so please stay tuned. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we give you these blessings every day so that you realize the significance of reciting Durood-e Pak, you realize the importance of reciting Durood-e Pak, and you realize the benefits of reciting Durood-e Pak. And if only we can make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak on a daily basis. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if a person recites Durood-e Pak 1,000 times in a day, just 1,000 times in a day, then he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful instinct, a beautiful message there for us, that if only we make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak on a daily basis. 1,000 times, it seems like a lot, but it's not, viewers of Money Channel. And when you watch this program, Rise and Shine, I myself, every day I say, Sallu ala al-Habib, and we say, Sallallahu ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say that, just that small Durood-e Pak, Sallallahu ala Muhammad, that Durood-e Pak in itself opens the 70 doors of mercy for you. So if you make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak, then inshallah, as a result, the benefits are there. If only we do this. So please, make an intention, pray our whole lives, we recite Durood-e Pak on a daily basis. Before I introduce the topic today, inshallah, we're now going to have the talawat of the Quran. Let's listen to the talawat of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Smile.
يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about Islam. Islam in general, and the fact that it is a complete code of life. That the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his hadith and through the Quran, we have a complete code of life there. In the Quran and through the hadith, we are told how to treat our women, how to treat our parents, how to treat our brothers and sisters, how to treat our children, how the whole community works together. And it's something that we need to be very, very proud of. And we are very, very fortunate that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with this, that the whole complete code of life has been given to us. And if only we follow this complete code of life, that inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in our lives, there will be harmony as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, this topic is a general topic. And so the viewers of you that are Muslims can hopefully feel proud of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla, through His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has given us a complete code of life. And those of you that maybe are watching today that are not Muslims will inshallah Azza wa Jalla realize that Islam is a complete code of life, the beautiful religion, the true religion. And if only we follow the true teachings of Islam, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, then we'll have peace in our hearts and mind. But before we continue with this topic, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we're going to have the daily naat, the naat of the day, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. So let's go to that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala nabiyyina. Salli ala Salli ala shafiyyina, salli ala muhammadin, salli ala kadimina, salli ala muhammadin, salli ala shafiyyina, salli ala muhammadin. Wah kya jood o karam hai shagbat ha the حقیقت کتنی ایک بے کیا میرے سیاہ کی حقیقت کتنی مجھ سے سو
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madin Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and we just listened to the Daily Kalam. And it's a beautiful way to wake up in the morning, listening to Durud-e Pak, listening to the Quran, listening to the Kalam, and it freshens you up. You know, when we came into the studio today, we were all feeling a little bit tired, but alhamdulillah, when you listen to the Tilawat of the Quran, you listen to the Kalam, inshaAllah, it wakes you up and it gives you this energy that can make you, inshaAllah, run through the day. So please try and make a habit of listening to the Quran or reading the Quran on a daily basis, inshaAllah, and listening to some beautiful kalams that build in you the spirit of Islam, build in you the love for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And today, viewers of Mother Channel, we're talking about, you know, the fact that Islam, what is Islam? Islam is a complete code of life. And Allah told us in the Quran, and I'll give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 3. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion." Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that the religion has been perfected and the name of the religion is Islam. And viewers of Madinah Channel, we want to talk about a little bit today so that as Muslims we realize what a rich heritage we have, that the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the Hadith and Allah Azza wa Jalla through the Quran, we have a complete code of life. How do we treat our women? How do we treat our parents? How do we treat our children? How do we treat our relatives? How do we treat our neighbors? How do we deal in business? All of these things have been given to us. And if we make, you know, if we try and live our lives according to that, then there will be peace. And Islam teaches us about peace. And if we live our lives according to that, then there will be harmony in our lives. The first part of this was this, because so many different segments we could talk about. The first segment that I want to talk about is half of the world population, i.e. our sisters. Sisters are obviously half of the world's population, but obviously Allah Azza wa Jalla has guided us on how they should be treated, how our wives should be treated, how our daughters should be treated, how our sisters should be treated. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Quran, and I want to give you this translation from Kanzil Iman, Surah An-Nisa, O believers, it is not lawful for you to become the heirs of women by force. And do not detain women with the intention of taking away a part of their dowry and give them, unless they commit blatant indecency, and deal with them kindly. And if you do not like them, so it is likely that you dislike a thing in which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed much good. You know, I'm not worthy, viewers of Malay Channel, to give you the tafsir of that verse, and there's a lot of information in there. So I'm going to read to you a couple of the tafsirs with regards to this so that you can understand the importance of this. And the scholars, the scholars could give you a whole lecture, or some scholars could possibly give you a whole series of lectures on just that one ayat of the Quran. In Tafsir Qurtubi, Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, and I'll read this, viewers of Mother Channel. He said that before Islam, it was the practice of the Arabs that they would become the inheritors of their relatives' wives, just how they would become inheritors of their wealth. Astaghfirullah. Then they would either keep them as spouses without giving dowry, or they would marry them to others and keep their dowry themselves. Or they would not let them marry, but they'd rather keep them with themselves so that they could not get the inheritance from them when they would receive it, and only then would they free them. Another reason why they would prevent women was to become their inheritance when they would die. In short, the women would be completely helpless in their hands and could not do anything willingly. This verse was revealed to abolish this practice. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala stated that this verse is about the one who hates his wife and mistreats her, so that after she returns the mahr or forgives it after becoming distressed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden it. One opinion is that men would divorce women and then would do rujoo, turn towards them, and then again would divorce them. In this way, they would keep women unsettled. Neither could she live with him peacefully, nor could she remarry. This has been forbidden. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, when we ponder about the conditions of the pre-Islamic era, that Islam came to give women's rights, Islam came to free women, Islam gave to give them all these rights of inheritance. Yes, women have rights of inheritance, viewers of Mother Channel. Even today, if we look at the state of society today, have we in some communities not gone back to them times of ignorance? Have we not gone back to them times where we are not giving the women the rights that they are due? If we are not gone back to them times where we are giving them the respect that they are due? You know, that is, if we look at the society today, that in some cases we are doing this. In some cases we are trying to find ways so that we don't have to give the inheritance to our women. We are trying to find ways that we suppress women and distress them women and give them, torture our women, astaghfirullah. You know, I remember someone writing an article, and in the article, he was talking about Islam in general. Should we fear Islam? It was a non-Muslim was writing it. And at the end he said, no, we should not fear Islam. Islam is beautiful. The problem is Muslims. The problem is certain Muslims that are abusing Islam. Islam has given everything a complete, their own authority, their own position, their own status. But we, as Muslims, we are taking that status away from everybody. And we need to learn to give that respect to our sisters, to our wives. You know, it is said that to make a home more peaceful, it says that, you know, with regards to your wife, if you dislike her, yeah, some people, what happens is they say that, oh, you know, through time, my wife is not as beautiful as she was, she's not as nice as she was, and people, you know, they start to dislike their partner for whatever reasons. You know, people, because people are living together, they start to dislike them. In this verse, we are also told, it's mentioned in Tafsir of Siratul Jinan, be patient, yeah? Because it is possible that Allah Azza wa Jal blesses with you such children from this wife who will be pious and obedient and who will be a support for you during the helplessness of your old age. You know, the pious people have also said that if, for example, and this is advice really for our brothers and our sisters, that if you, in your partner, in your spouse, you start to dislike something, they have a habit that you don't like, yeah? Be it a small habit, be it a bad habit, whatever that habit is and you dislike it, then for one second, put that bad habit to one side. Put that bad habit to one side and think about all the good habits. Think about all those things that they've done for you. Think about all those times that they supported you. Think about all those times that they loved you. Think about all those times that they have looked after you. And I'm hopeful, viewers of Mother and Child, that when you look at that, this bad habit, this time where that person annoyed you, when they said something wrong that you didn't like, or maybe in a state of anger they said something. If you look at this, if you look at the positives, then inshallah, as well as these negatives will become insignificant. And I think that is a code for life, viewers of Mother Channel, that when, if we look at ourselves, if we look at individuals and look at the positives in them, then inshallah, as well. You know, Islam is such a beautiful religion that at a time when Islam came, women were the victims. People used to divorce their wives. People used to kill their wives. People used to bury their daughters alive. Astaghfirullah. Yes, people used to bury their daughters alive. But Islam give this status to women. And even now, viewers of Mother Channel, it is unfortunate that in some households, when a daughter is born, they're not happy. Brothers, sisters, daughters are a mercy for you. Daughters are a mercy for you. You should be more happy. You know, but even now, in some communities, in some houses, people are not like. But this is not Islam, viewers of Mother Channel. This is not what we have been taught by Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not what we've been taught by the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam. By virtue of the blessings of Islam, viewers of Mother Channel, the status of women who were victims has been recurred so high that the daughter has been declared a form of mercy. The mother of the feet of the mother have been called the threshold of paradise. A mother has been given such respect in our society. Mother have been given such respect in our society that if you look after your mother, then the soles of your feet are the doors of paradise. This is the status that Islam has given to women. If only, viewers of Mother Channel. And again, we can talk about this all day. Maybe one day we will talk about just the status of women in Islam. But if we understand this, viewers of Mother Channel, but before we move on, that this status has been given by this beautiful code of life, by this beautiful religion, the religion of Islam, which alhamdulillah today more than 1.8 billion people have entered into the fold of Islam. And if you were to count them one by one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it might take you months to count them. 1.8 billion people, inshallah, at this moment in time, are hopefully worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. So viewers of Mother Channel, please, you know, understand that Islam is a complete code of life. Inshallah, we're now going to go to the daily reminder. So let's go to the daily reminder and see what we're going to learn today. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Mandi Channel, how merciful and generous is Allah Azza wa Jal, our creator, our sustainer, the one who gave us life and the one that will give us death. If anyone repents sincerely in his court, he Azza wa Jal becomes so pleased with him that he will forgive him, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. But my dear viewers of Mandi Channel, we need to learn how to repent. We need to repent constantly. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the person who repents. Whatever we do, we need to repent. Repent in the morning, repent in the evening, at night, read Salatul Tawbah, and then go to sleep. My dear viewers of Mandi Channel, how fantastic, how phenomenal, how magnificent. Words are not enough to say for the gracious mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Words are not enough. He wants us to repent so He can, Azza wa Jal, forgive us. But do we actually repent? Or do we say, no, Allah will forgive us anyway? We need to make the mindset that every little thing that happens to us, we need to repent and we need to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen for everything that Allah has done for us. Even if it's something so small or something so vast, we need to make sure that we do shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also we need to make sure that we repent. Repentance in the court of Allah is, Allah Azza wa Jal loves us. If we do not do this, we do not repent, we will not be forgiven for our sins. But yet, we have to look at this, that if we harm somebody or hurt a Muslim's feelings and we repent in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, we also need to go to the person and ask for his forgiveness. If we do not do that, but on the Day of Judgment, the person who we've hurt their feelings, on the Day of Judgment, they will take certain amount of good deeds of ours. And you need every single good deed for the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about Islam. Islam being a complete code of life. What a beautiful religion. What fortunate people we are that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. Yes, we are very, very lucky that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us, that we are born into the religion of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. And those people, you know, that enter into the fold of Islam, those people that we call maybe new Muslims or reverts. And again, we're not sure what we should really call these people, because some people have been, you know, they've come back to the fold of Islam 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and we still call them new Muslims. But these people, that when they come into the religion of Islam, viewers of Madrasah, when they come back to the religion of Islam, they come in it wholeheartedly. They study it and they follow it and they live it, their lives according to it. Why? Because for them, they have made a sacrifice for it. Whereas the majority of us, because we are born into the fold of Islam, we don't appreciate how beautiful this religion is. You know, and I've seen people, viewers of Madinah Channel, that literally they have read the Shahada, they have read the Kalma a few days ago, and they will come and inquire that, you know, I believe Hajj is farz upon us, and where can I go on the Hajj, and Hajj is only 2 months away, and they will try and perform the Hajj as soon as possible. Why? Because they realize it is farz upon them. Whereas we, the majority of us, it is farz upon us many, many years, but unfortunately, we do not go and perform this journey. And they make these sacrifices, and they understand that Islam is there for them, that Islam is a complete code of life. And we need to emphasize this and understand this, viewers of Madri Channel. Before the break, we very, very briefly talked about the status of women in Islam and the important status that has been given to them, the status to the daughter, the status to the wife, the status to the mother, and how Islam should give them a status as well. But alongside that, parents, our parents are also have a great status in Islam. We are told to treat our parents with respect, to look after our parents. And you know, your parents, that no matter how bad their children come out, the parents always look at the children with a loving eye. They love their children. They want to do everything for their children. And they do everything for their children. You know, I remember a brother the other day, he was saying that his son wasn't feeling well. And he said, my wife was massaging the child's feet and legs, and I was massaging the child's head. And a thought came to myself that, you know, my mother and father probably did this for me. Yeah. My mother and father did this for me, looked after me in the same way that you're looking after your children. Your mother and father did that for you. And should we not be doing this? But unfortunately, again, nowadays, viewers of Madri Channel, we're not respecting our parents. We're not looking after our parents. We're not doing for our parents what we should do. You know, I've heard it so many times on Madri Channel. Nigrani Shura has said it, Amir Sunnat has said it, that, you know, one mother and father can look after 8 children, 10 children, but 10 children cannot look after one mother and father. You know, there was a famous incident in which the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was walking up the steps of the minbar, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was talking to him. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, at each step, he was giving a dua. And to that dua, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, Ameen. And on one of them steps, He said that woe unto him who a month of Ramadan comes and a month of Ramadan goes, and he fails to get his sins forgiven. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. In another step, he said, woe unto him who hears your name and does not send Durde Pak upon you. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. And on one of them steps, the Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam says to him, woe unto them who their parents, they receive their parents in old age, and through not looking after them, they do not attain paradise. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. Viewers of Madri channel, if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says Ameen to a dua, then inshaAllah azza wa jal, that dua is accepted. So there's a very important message there with regards to our parents, that if we receive our parents in an old age, then it is a blessing. Yes, it is a blessing. It is not a burden, it is a blessing upon you. You should be thankful that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this opportunity. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this opportunity that your parents have gotten an old age that you can look after them. I remember one of my relatives. He was very, very healthy. Alhamdulillah. He had 7 children. And he, at the age of 60, he was still very, very healthy, very, very active. And he was involved in a serious car accident, a serious road accident. And he was bedridden for 6 years, and after 6 years, he passed away. But the children, yeah, for them, it was not a burden. In fact, I remember his eldest son once saying to me that, brother, you know, in one way, this is a blessing. That all our lives, we didn't even have the opportunity to give our father one cup of water because he was so independent. We never had the opportunity to look after him, but now we have the opportunity to look after him, to feed him, to clothe him, to change him, to look after him. And they thought of it as a blessing. They didn't think of it as a burden. The father was bedridden, not here, viewers of Mother Channel, where carers come into your house and look after you and give you these short breaks or whatever it is. I'm talking about Pakistan now, where your family are the only people that look after you. Yeah? And they took it as a blessing. And them words still ring in my head when his son said to me that this is a blessing for us, that we have never had the opportunity to even give our father one glass of water. He was so independent, he was so healthy and fit, and now we have this opportunity. This is what our deen teaches us. It doesn't teach us, viewers of Madani Channel, to put our old people in the old people's home and leave them there so that they are forgotten and we forget about them and they stay there and they die in loneliness. This is not what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us to respect our parents, to look after our parents. And you can never, yes, you can never do enough for your parents. Allahu Akbar, if only, woe unto him who receives his parents in an old age but fails to look after them. Your mother, we are told, as we mentioned early on, the feet of your mother is the doors of paradise. We are told that your father, if your father is angry with you, then Allah Azza wa Jal is angry with you. Your mother, your father is happy with you, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal is happy with you. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, a beautiful verse from the Quran. And again, viewers of Madani Channel, we keep on saying this. But again, we need to make a habit of reading the Quran with commentary, reading the Quran with translation. Then we will understand what is our responsibilities. And once we understand what our responsibilities are, then we can live a life of peace. So before I read out this ayat of the Quran, today, just with relation to the situation here in the UK, various announcements are being made, and people are saying that we are confused. We're confused about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we can do, what we can't do. We need guidance. We need to know what we can and what we can't do. Allahu Akbar, our deen has given us perfect guidance. Our deen has taught you how you should treat your parents. Our deen has taught you how you should treat your women. But the problem is, are we reading the guidance? Are we understanding the guidance? Are we implementing our lives and following this guidance? All viewers of Madani Channel, don't be confused. You have no reason to be confused. Allahu Akbar. Islam has given us the guidance of how we can deal with every single situation. This beautiful ayat of the Quran, viewers of Madani Channel, Surah Bani Israel, ayat number 23 and 24. And I keep on giving you the verses so that maybe you make a note of them and you can go away, read the commentary as well, read the translation as well, and hopefully understand it. Because during this short period of time, I'm very, very quickly giving you information. I feel that some brothers say that you talk too quickly. And the reason I I sometimes feel I'm talking too quickly is that I want to give you so much views on my channel so that you can go away and hopefully benefit from this. So please forgive me if I'm talking too quickly. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Bani Israel, ayat number 23 and 24, and treat your parents with goodness. If one of them or both of them reach old age in front of you, so do not even say uff to them, and do not scold them, and speak to them words of respect, and spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart, and request humbly, O my Lord, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful verse of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, don't even say uff to them. Yeah? Forget about telling them off. Forget about cursing them. Forget about calling them names. Don't even say uff to them. And nowadays, maybe at that time people used to say uff. Nowadays, the youngsters, what do they say to the parents? You know, the mother says, beta, can you do the... And they tut at them. Views of Mother Channel, Islam doesn't teach us not even to tut to our parents. Don't even say uff to them, let alone scold them, let alone disrespect them. Not only that, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the last part of this verse, do dua for them. Do dua for your parents. Oh Allah, oh my Lord, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us to do dua for them. It is stated in a beautiful book, Jannati Zewar, which is published by Maktabat al-Madina. This is another beautiful book that you can download from our webpage, www.dawatislami.net. Jannati Zewar. If you read this book, on page 92 to 94, it says, do not cause any kind of inconvenience to your parents by any of your sayings and any of your actions. Even if they oppress you to some extent, it is still obligatory for you not to hurt their feelings at all in any states. You know, today, you know, youngsters, they say that, oh, I'm only going to respect him if he respects me. He doesn't respect me, so why should I respect him, yeah? And if he earns my respect, I will respect him, yeah? And he needs to earn my respect. And people make this statement. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, not with your parents. No, 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 no. The parents have earned your respect the day they gave birth to you. Yeah, that's the day they earned your respect. They don't have to earn your respect. They don't have to do anything to gain your respect. You must respect your parents. You must look after your parents. They don't have to do anything. They've done it when they give birth to you. You don't have to do anything. You have to do everything, sorry. You have to do everything. They don't have to do anything. Allahu Akbar. Carrying on in that same book, it says, respect your parents by every word and every action of yours, and always take care of their respect as well. Take care of their honor as well. Take care of their respect as well. Make sure that through your actions, viewers of Madhuri Channel, your parents are not disrespected. You may have a father that's worked all his life earning an halal income. He's strived and he's struggled and he's worked shifts and he's worked overtime. He's worked day shift, night shift, 7 hours a day, 12 hours a day. He's worked so hard to bring you up. Yeah. And then what happens is that you start earning income from halal means. You start going onto the streets and start committing crimes. You start dealing in drugs. You start burglary, gambling, whatever you do. And what happens is, viewers of Money Channel, they remember, people will say, oh, that person, so-and-so, father of so-and-so. Yeah, his father is so-and-so. Yeah, his father didn't bring him up properly. His father did not look after him properly. And they blame the father, they blame the mother. And you have never brought disrespect to your father. You have never brought disrespect to your mother by your actions. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, that your actions are not just your actions. They affect your whole family. And you know, a story has come to mind, viewers of Madhuri Channel. I want to share this story with you. Because I want you to realize, viewers of Madhuri Channel, that your actions have a bigger impact on what you do in your life. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, Dawah Islami is also very active in the jails. Yes, we go into the jails and we have study circles there. We run courses there. We try to perform Salatul Jummah there and we meet the brothers there as well. And I remember there was one incident where I had the fortune of also going into the jails and meeting the brothers. And it was a Friday. I remember it was a Friday. And when I went in there, there was a chaplain there. The chaplain is like the priest of the jail. And he came up to me and he said to me, brother, you know, there's a certain individual, a Muslim. His sister passed away last night. So today in your prayers, can you do a special prayer for his sister? So I said, okay, no problem. And then because I'd been going to that jail a few times, I said to the chaplain, I said, look, if his sister passed away last night, then the funeral prayers, the namaz-e-janaza, will probably be taking place today, on Friday. You know, as Muslims, we try to bury our dead as soon as possible. And I mentioned that to him, that this is what we do. And he said, yes, I understand that. And I said that, surely, you know, he's not a big criminal. He's not a murderer. He's not such a huge criminal. Surely you can let him attend, yeah, his sister's funeral. And if need be, I'll stay here. Yeah, you can keep me here in his place under lock and key. And if he does not return, then I will stay here. And they said, yeah, that's not an issue, you know. That's not an issue, but the problem is he doesn't want to go. And you know, when they said that to me, if it was a Madani channel, I felt a little bit of anger raising inside myself. And I thought, what kind of person is this? Yeah, that his sister has passed away and he doesn't want to attend the funeral? What kind of person is this? Have we gone that low that when our sister passes away, we have the opportunity to attend the funeral, we're given permission to go and attend the funeral, and you're not attending it? And I'll be honest with you, viewers on Madani channel, I felt, you know, something coming inside me, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a word with him. I'm going to speak to him, and I'm going to give him, you know, two words, and I'm going to speak to him and tell him that what kind of a person is he, that this is happening, you do not even wish to go and attend your sister's funeral. You know, and I, unfortunately, I could feel this anger, you know, brewing up inside me. So they had a room allocated for us where we performed Salatul Jum'ah, and I went into that room. And when I went into the room, I searched for him, and as soon as I saw him, he was sitting at the back. His eyes were swollen, yeah, they were right red, his face was red, and he was holding back the tears. You know, and as soon as I saw his face, everything inside me, that anger, that frustration, it all disappeared, because I realized that there was something wrong. And because he was in jail, he was trying to be tough. You know, when you're in jail, you try to be tough, you try to be the man, yeah? So I called him to one side, and I sat down with him. And I said, brother, I'm very sorry, but I've heard that your sister has passed away. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you patience at this time. And may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive her all her sins and enable her to enter paradise without accountability. And he said, Ameen, Jazakallah, brother, thank you for them du'as. And I said, brother, but I have a question for you. And he said, yeah. I said, why are you not attending your sister's funeral? Why are you not going there? I've spoken to the chaplain. The chaplain has said that, look, they'll release you, no problem. You know, they'll release you. And he took a deep breath and he said, brother, when I was caught, I was sentenced and I was in a different city. Although today I'm in a jail that is in the same city where my family live, I moved away from my city. And I was in this city, I was living far away. And what I did is I committed the crimes there, I was caught there, I was sentenced there, and I was in a jail there, and eventually I got sent to a jail here. He said, but my parents, out of being embarrassed, they were ashamed of telling people that their son is now in jail. The parents told everybody that my son has gone to Pakistan. He's staying over there and, you know, he's enjoying his life over there. And when he comes back, he comes back. So if I turn up at the funeral with two policemen with me, I attend the funeral and then I go home, I come back to jail, what will my parents say to people? You know, what will they say to the people that I'll ask so many questions? And it dawned on me, and I said to him, I told him, I said, do you realize today that your actions do not just affect you, they affect everybody, your whole family. And your actions have a far-flung effect. Today, you think you're strong, that you're running the streets, that you've got everything in your hands. But today, you're sitting here and you're crying because you cannot attend your sister's funeral. Today, your mother and father don't have the son there to console them because of your actions. So viewers of Madani channel, we need to be very, very careful of what our actions do, the effect that they can have, the long-term effects that they can have. Viewers of Madani channel, coming back to what we were mentioning, sorry, I got diverted with that, but I think it was up that regarding that our actions, that with our parents as well, we should not do any actions that can affect them as well. We are told in that book, Jannat al-Zawr, and I advise you to download it, and I think it's now available in English as well. Obey the orders of your parents in every permissible action. If your parents need anything, look after them by using your time and your wealth. If your parents take anything of your wealth, anything of your possessions, they need it, never mind. and never express your anger towards him, but rather consider that you and your entire wealth, all of yours, belong to your parents. It is stated in a blessed hadith that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that you and your wealth all belong to your parents. Yes, viewers of Madri Channel, we should not all, when our parents need anything, don't think to yourself that I'm giving money to my mother, I'm giving money to my father. No, they are taking what is theirs. They need what is theirs and I'm giving them. It's not my wealth, it is theirs. It's theirs to take, it's theirs to use. And develop this mindset. And if a parent passes away, it is the right of the children to keep making dua for their forgiveness. They should also convey the reward for the nafal acts of worship and charity to their souls. They should keep sending the reward to their souls after reciting Fatiha over food and sweet items as well. That when your parents pass away, you should continue to do good deeds and pass it on to them. And again, viewers of Madri Channel, I want to slightly, you know, I keep on digressing from the topic here, but I want to give you some personal advice that I have had. My father passed away in 2017, and obviously it affected me. I was very, very close to my father. And may Allah Azza wa Jal bless his soul. But one thing that kept me going, one thing that gave me the enthusiasm to keep going was Dawat Islami. And I'll tell you why. Because I thought to myself that, you know, I was very close to my father. I tried with my meager efforts to try and look after my father. And without doubt, I did not fulfill the rights of my father as I should. And may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. But I tried whatever I could. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive my shortcomings. But at the same time, I realize that now I have Dawat Islami. And if in Dawat Islami, I continue to try and strive to do good deeds, try to do the work of deen, with this intention that whatever, Ya Allah, if I earn any reward, like today, I'm here today, if I have earned any reward, then Ya Allah, I pass it on to my father. Yeah? And this is the platform that Dawat Islami has. So viewers of Madri Channel, if you have lost any of your parents, then more than before, if you have your parents, then come into the environment of Dawat Islami to learn how to respect your parents. But if you don't have your parents, then come into Dawat Islami to learn how your parents can benefit from your actions. Keep doing favor to the friends of your parents and to those who your parents would usually meet and treat them well. Yes, this is what our beautiful religion teaches us, that not only your parents, that when your parents' friends, your relatives, their close people that they're associated with, treat them well as well. Pay off your parents' debts or act upon their wills after their death. Yes, viewers of Mother Channel, it's your responsibility. If your parents leave behind a debt, then pay it off. Pay off the debt so that they can be peaceful in the dark and lonely graves. Do not perform that act which used to cause pain to your parents when they were alive, even after their death, as it will inflict pain on their souls. Yeah, my father's passed away now. He wouldn't let me do it before. Now I can do it. No. You know, my father won't let me do this before. He didn't like me doing this. But now that he's gone, I can do it. No, viewers of Madri Channel. No. Even then, if you perform those acts that would hurt your parents whilst they were alive, it will afflict their soul as well. They will feel the pain even after they have passed away. So do not perform any of their acts. And finally, viewers of Madri Channel, do visit the graves of the parents. Recite Fatiha at their graves. Say salam to them and make dua of forgiveness for them. Those acts will please their souls. Placing the reward of Fatiha in the dishes of Noor angels will present them before parents that will please them. And then they will make dua for their sons and daughters. And one thing that is very, very important to viewers of Madri Channel, with regards to our parents, before we move on to the next segment, with regards to your parents, viewers of Madri Channel, treat your parents as you would want your children to treat you, because your children will learn from you. So viewers of Madri Channel, you're listening to Arise and Shine, and today we're talking about Islam being a complete code of life. And we have the daily reminders, but now we've got to the daily hadith. Let's go to the daily hadith and listen to a beautiful saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, who are the best of the people? Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the best of mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allamahu, that the best amongst you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. How beautiful are these words. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. And there are many, many blessings in regards to reciting, doing the tilawats of the glorious Qur'an. The Qur'an, it will be a proof for us on the Day of Judgment. The Qur'an, it will intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. For every letter that we recite of the Qur'an, 10 good deeds are recorded for us. And the reciter of the glorious Qur'an, he remains in the company of the angels, and constantly good reward is written down for him. The Qur'an, it cleanses our hearts, and it will be the Qur'an that will lead us into paradise. And in one narration, the position in paradise will be determined by the amount of Qur'an that we have memorized in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to keep connected with the glorious Qur'an, and may we spend our entire lives in teaching and in learning the glorious Qur'an. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhini Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about the beautiful religion of Islam and the fact that it is a complete code of life, if only we understand this. And today we chose this topic so that as Muslims we can understand what our roles and our responsibilities are, and we realize that there's guidance there for all of us. And those of us that are not Muslims can understand that Islam is such a beautiful religion. And I invite you all to enter the fold of Islam. We talked about the rights of the women, the sister, the daughter, the mother. We've also talked about the rights of the parents as well. Viewers of Madhini Channel, after the parents, the relationship between a brother and sister is also considered to be very close. And after the death of a parent, there is a danger. There is a danger that this relationship will start to, you know, go apart, that they will start to go on their own lives, that the connecting, some people say that it is our parents that connect us, yeah? It is our parents that connect us. Once our parents are not there, then the brothers and the sisters will start to go apart. And it's for this reason, viewers of Madhini Channel, that Islam has given the rights and a huge responsibility to the elder brother as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the right of the elder brother over his younger brothers and sisters is like the right of the father over the son. The elder brother now has a responsibility. He has a responsibility to keep the family unit together. He has a responsibility to put a wing of mercy over the family. He has a responsibility to now look after that family. He has this huge responsibility. But at the same time, this responsibility is two ways. In the same way that the brother needs to have, that the brother needs to be respected in the status of the father. So if you are the elder brother, then younger brothers and sisters, once your parents pass away, or even when your parents are alive, then you need to respect your elder brother. And when your parents pass away, you need to be respected even more. But at the same time, the elder brother must not misuse that respect. He should not like be, you know, saying, oh, well, I'm the elder brother now, you have to listen to what I said, yeah? And you need to do this, and you need to do that. No, he needs to show that mercy, show that compassion, and look after them. So it's a two-way affair. And again, the elder brother needs to understand his role. He needs to understand his responsibility. And again, Islam teaches us this. There's a beautiful incident. Sayyidina Jarir bin Hazim, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that I once had a dream in which I saw that my head was in my hands. In order to get its interpretation, I related my dream to Sayyidina Ibn Sirin. He was an expert in interpreting dreams. He asked me, are any of your parents alive? I replied in the negative. He then said, do you have an elder brother? I replied in the affirmative. He then replied, keep feeding Allah Azza wa Jal, treat him well and refrain from breaking ties with him. Allahu Akbar. So this is the status of the brother, that we need to maintain ties with him. And so whilst Islam has taught us that the young to respect the elders, it has also ordered the elders to show affection and devotion to the younger brothers and sisters as well. that I'm just going to give you two hadiths so that the elders will also understand their responsibility with regard to the younger brothers and sisters as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has three daughters or three sisters or two daughters and two sisters and treats them well and fears Allah azza wa jal in relation to them, then there is paradise for them. Allahu Akbar. And in another hadith, he says that he is not amongst us who does not show mercy to the young ones, does not pay respect to our elders, and does not fulfill our rights. Allahu Akbar. Two beautiful hadiths, viewers of Mother Channel, if only we can learn to understand our responsibilities. Viewers of Mother Channel, we have a kalam ready for you first, inshaAllah azawajal. We'll go to the kalam, inshaAllah azawajal. So we'll take a small break now, and after the break, inshaAllah azawajal, we'll talk about other aspects of Islam being a code of life. So now we're going to go to the kalam of the day, inshaAllah azawajal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اللہ کی یاد ہی سے دل چین پاتے ہیں راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا زینت نطق تیرا اسم عظیم زینت نطق تیرا اسم عظیم وجہ تحریک لب ہے ذکر تیرا وجہ تحریک لب ہے ذکر تیرا افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا بے بسی کی سیاہ راتوں میں بسی کی سیاہ راتوں میں روشنی کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا روشنی کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا تیرے ارشاد سے ہوا معلوم تیرے ارشاد سے ہوا معلوم ذکر شاہ عرب ہے ذکر تیرا ذکر شاہ عرب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا احسا کرے زبان بشر جس کا احسا کرے زبان بشر اتنا محدود کب ہے ذکر تیرا اتنا محدود کب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت رحمت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا فکر شہزاد کے لیے لارب فکر شہزاد کے لیے لارب باعث تاب و تب ہے ذکر تیرا باعث تاب و تب ہے ذکر تیرا
راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا راحت افزا عجب ہے ذکر تیرا مغفرت کا سبب ہے ذکر تیرا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. I hope that you enjoyed that hamd as much as I did, alhamdulillah. Viewers of the Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we are talking about Islam being a complete code of life. And yes, it is a complete code of life. Complete guidelines have been given, the guidance has been given to us in every aspect of our life. And if only we followed the guidelines and guidance that we have been given, then inshallah, if we did this, we'd have peace in our hearts, peace in our houses, peace in our communities, and peace in the whole world as well, inshallah. Today we've been talking about, so far we've been talking about the rights of our sisters, the women, the mothers, the daughters, the rights of the elder brother, the rights of the parents, the rights of the children as well. And in the same way, Islam guides us about these rights and teaches us to fulfill the rights of one another, it also, viewers of Mother Channel, gives us guiding principles and rules in relation to our relatives as well. Yes, how do we treat our relatives? How should we treat our relatives? There's a beautiful ayat of the Quran, and I want to share that with you, viewers of Mother Channel. It is stated in Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 1. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and fear Allah, in whose name you demand mutual rights, and be mindful of your blood relations. Indeed, Allah is observing of you at all times. Allahu Akbar. Regarding this blessed verse, it is stated in Tafsir Naimi, viewers of Mother Channel, the way Salah, fast, Hajj, Zakah are necessary for Muslims. Similarly, it is also necessary to fulfill the rights of relatives. And he further said, treating relatives and near ones well is very beneficial for one's life in the world and the hereafter. It makes all of our life, death, and hereafter better. Viewers of Mother Channel, who are your relatives? Grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunties. They're all maternal side, paternal side, whatever side it is, they're all your cousins. They all have a certain amount of rights on you. Yes, they have rights on you, viewers of Mother Channel. And you have rights on them as well. If only we could live our life according to these rights. If only we could look after each other, care for each other, with the guidelines that we have been given, then we would have peace, viewers of Mother Channel. There's a beautiful book called Baheshti Kunjiya, Keys to Paradise. Again, you can download this on Dawat Islami's website. On page 197, it says, severing ties with relatives is haram and an act leading to the hellfire. Therefore, every Muslim should always be cautious in this matter, and he should not sever ties with his relatives. Rather, he should always make efforts to maintain relations with them and ensure that the relationship never comes to an end. Some people are heard saying, we will only maintain relationships with those relatives who keep relationships with us, and we'll sever relations with those who sever relations with us. Saying this and adopting this manner, both are contrary to Islam. He has further said, there is only one permissible condition of severing ties with relatives, and that condition is to sever ties based on religious reason. For example, no matter how close a relative is, if he becomes an apostate, goes astray, or becomes a heretic, then it is wajib to sever ties. How other than that, you need to maintain them ties. So you should not again say to yourself that if he keeps relationship with me, then I'll keep relationship with me. If he keeps in contact with me, I'll keep in contact with him. No. What is stopping you from keeping in contact with your relatives? What is stopping you from remembering your relatives? Viewers of Mother Channel, you contact those relatives that you've not spoken to for a while. You know, say to him, you know, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, how are you? I pray that, you know, is everything okay? Is your health okay? MashaAllah. Please look after yourself. Take care, inshallah. And I pray to Allah that that time comes where we can meet again, inshallah. Please look after yourself. Bas. How long did that take? How long did that phone call take? 1 minute? 2 minutes? All right, maybe you had to listen to something that they had to say as well. 5 minutes. 5 minutes of your life, and you put happiness into the heart of your relatives. You put happiness into the soul of your deceased ones, that they are seeing that he's maintaining these relationships. If your parents are there alive, you put happiness in their hearts, because ultimately they will say, oh yeah, alhamdulillah, your son, he rang me up the other day and he spoke to me, and yes, mashallah, he was asking you about me. And your father, your mother will be happy. They will be happy, the family will be happy, and this happiness will extend. And putting happiness in the hearts of Muslims is such a great virtue as well. If only we can have this mindset as well. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, it is stated regarding this that Sharia has mentioned the rights of all the people, be it parents, relatives, sisters, brothers, and neighbors. The rights will only be fulfilled if it is in accordance to the Sharia. Otherwise, none of them will be obeyed and none will the relationship maintained. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet will be obeyed. We should always keep this pearl of mind in our mindset. So we need to follow the laws of Islam. In another hadith, viewers of Madinah Channel, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, who is the best amongst people? And he replied, the one who fears Allah Azza wa Jal the most, the one who treats his relative well, and the one who abundantly calls people to righteousness and forbids them from evil. And this, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been told, is the best amongst people. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, now we have a special guest with us. Waseem Bhai, Assalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
Masha Allah Azza wa Jalla. How are you, Waseem Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you, Kiki
Muzul? Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Nice to hear your voice. Waseem Bhai, what we mentioned, mashallah, and if we have time, we'll mention the translation department as well. But Waseem Bhai, we're talking about Islam being a complete code of life. And Waseem Bhai, the purpose of today's program, in my mind, was to make our Muslims realize that we have such a rich heritage, we have such a rich history, we have perfect guidelines laid down for us. And so that if people follow these guidelines that have been laid down for us, then they'll have a life of harmony. And we talked very, very briefly, I admit very, very briefly, about the rights of the women, the rights of daughters, the rights of wives, the rights of our parents, the rights of the elder brother, and the rights of our relatives as well. And mashallah, you, mashallah, even probably the beyond that I'm looking at and the books that I'm looking at that I've got my notes from, alhamdulillah, you have probably translated them books. May Allah Azawajal reward you for that. But with regards to the topic of the day, Waseem Bhai, if you can give us some of your madani pearls.
Mashallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Khalid Bhai, you beautifully mentioned regarding having harmony in our lives and peace in our lives. The main reason nowadays we look in our society where a lot of unrest and lack of peace is involved. One of the basic reasons is because we don't follow the commandments that we've been commanded by the Sharia. Yeah. And if all of us, first of all, realize how fortunate we are that we've been given such a beautiful, beautiful code of conduct by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we just simply follow the commandments of this beautiful religion, the commandments of Islam, it would bring about peace, harmony, everything in the society, and our society will turn into a board of peace and harmony. Now, how Islam emphasizes and teaches us to be kind to everyone, to be nice to everyone, this is a fundamental part of our lives, integral part of our lives. A very small example I'll give you, and to the viewers of Madani channel, that Islam is all about well-wishing for others, being others' well-wisher. And this is very, very important for us. Unfortunately, the problem is nowadays we've adopted a mindset of mind your own business. Whereas Islam really teaches us to look after others, to help others, to support others, especially in the need of the time. For example, during the outbreak of such diseases, the situation in which we are at the moment. So if you want to become one of the perfect believers, you want to perfect your faith, what it requires you to do is, it is to look after others, help others, support others. And one of the very basic element that we need to adopt is, is the element of having a positive opinion about others, thinking good about others. Now the problem is that, for example, I ring you, Khalid, but you don't pick up the phone, and I'll be like, you see, Khalid wants to ignore me. He doesn't pick up my phone. So unfortunately, because of these ill opinions, we start
Musim,
having...
Sorry for not answering your phone call.
So basically, these ill opinions, they keep coming into our minds, and because of this, we start developing these hatred and you know, ill feelings about our Islamic brothers in our hearts. Whereas, how beautiful of a religion is that, for example, there's a person right in front of you, and you smell alcohol from him. Still, you're not allowed to assume that he's drunk alcohol. Why? Because it is possible that he took a sip of alcohol and then he spat it out, or someone forced him in drinking it. Now, the reason, because a definite uncertainty exists in this situation, hence it is not allowed to impose a Sharia punishment upon him. So this is what Islam is teaching us, that Allah, if, for example, there are 99 reasons for you to have a negative feeling for someone, but then all of a sudden there's one reason through which you can adopt a positive opinion about someone, then you are emphasized by Islam, you're told by Islam to adopt that one positive reason and let go of all 99 other reasons. And then just think about this, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that if we adopt this very mindset and if we start following this very command of Islam, then how beautiful our society will turn out to be. And many problems that we face nowadays about having grudges, enmities, ill feelings about our fellow Muslims in our hearts, all these will be eradicated just because of following this one command of Islam. And bear in mind that having a positive opinion about your fellow Muslims is wajib upon us, it's necessary for us. So you can see that how much emphasis Islam has placed in just following this one command. It has made it obligatory, it has made it wajib, so that our society turns into a peaceful society. So this is just one aspect of the teachings of Islam that we've been emphasized to follow. And just following this would turn our whole society into a peaceful society, let alone other elements that you've just mentioned. But just going through this one beautiful element of teachings of Islam gives us a mindset how fortunate we are, what a beautiful religion we have, that it not only focuses on our spiritual insight, it not only wants us to better our insight spiritually, but it also stresses on bettering our social life. And no doubt Islam is a natural religion, and following Islam is the answer to have a better society, to have a better spiritual insight.
Allahu Akbar, Wasim Bhai, that was a beautiful Madani pearl with regards to having positive thoughts. Viewers of Madani Channel, that Wasim Bhai just mentioned there, that if we have positive thinking about people, and positive thinking meaning that, like he said, the beautiful example, he said that if you see somebody that you, when you meet them, they have you can smell alcohol on them, then you should never assume, even then you should never assume that they have been drinking alcohol, and we should even then think positive about people. And he beautifully said that, you know, if there are 99 reasons to think negative about someone and there is one reason to think positive about them, then do that. And Musimba, as you were talking about, I was thinking to myself that if we adopt nothing, if we do nothing in our lives and socially, and we adopt that, then there'll be a lot of harmony in our lives, because that'll take away all sorts of sins. It'll take away backbiting, it'll take away gossiping, it'll take away, you know, slandering people, it'll take away all of these things. And the you know, when we were talking about today about severing relations with each other, that a lot of relationships are severed by the fact that people have negative feelings about, oh, he didn't invite me to the wedding and that's why I don't want to speak to him again. Well, maybe he did invite you, and maybe the card didn't arrive, or maybe it didn't deliver, or maybe he genuinely forgot, and you know, but it's not as if he's forgotten you, but he just forgot to fill in the card and thought somebody else would do it. And having these positive mindset, I think, Wasim, but again, mashallah, is very, very important.
And it's so, if you see how beautiful Islam is, that having positive opinions makes you earn reward. And if you look at it, there's no effort involved in it.
Allah,
you don't have to physically get up and, you know, do something, or, you know, there's no physical effort involved in it. All you need to do is just sit down, clear your heart for others, and start thinking good about others. There you go. Rewards, they start accumulating in your book of deeds. That's how simple it is. That's how beautiful our religion is. And what we also need to understand is that the ill opinions that we keep in our hearts for our fellow Muslims, those ill opinions, they sow the seed of hatred. And it opens up the doors to many other evils, many other sins, which not only harm us spiritually, but also harms our social life. And this is one of the biggest reasons that unfortunately nowadays a great unrest, it exists within our society. So this is one of the reasons, as you beautifully mentioned earlier, that we need to understand how fortunate we are that we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. We've been given the commandments of Sharia, which is a complete code of life. You look at whatever aspect of your life, you want to become a businessman, you want to become a student, you want to become a father, you want to marry, whatever aspect of your life you want to look at, alhamdulillah, the rulings of Sharia, Islam is right there for us, guiding us. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, the seerah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is right there as a role model for us, that how shall we live our life. So be proud in who you are, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are Muslims, we've been blessed with Islam, and follow the commandments of Sharia and keep earning rewards for your akhirah. It won't only better your hereafter, but this world as well, inshallah azza wa jal.
Wazir bhai, I mentioned earlier on, mashallah, that you are responsible for our translation department. I'm going to put you on the spot now. There's a saying that we hear that Amir al-Sunnah and a lot of Muballighs make. And rather than me translating, mashallah, we've got the translation department here in front of us, the head of the translation department. There's a saying, isn't it? Kuch aisa ye na ke badgumani karne mein koi fayda nahi hai aur husnizan karne mein koi nuksan nahi hai. Aisa ye na?
Subhanallah, indeed.
Jiji, translate for us.
SubhanAllah, there's no good in keeping an ill opinion, and there's no loss in having a good opinion.
Allahu Akbar. I think if we only can adopt that, Wasim bhai, mashallah, I think that we'd have a change in our lives. So mashallah, as we mentioned, Wasim bhai, and I just very briefly mentioned, and I know it's not related to the topic, mashallah, translation work that is happening. If you can just give us a very, very briefly mention some of the translation work that is currently taking place. And I know, alhamdulillah, that you know, some of the work that you are translating, when I receive it from you, I send it all around the world, and I'm getting words of thanks from as far as Australia, New Zealand and Fiji, where I send them to the brothers over there. So what currently is taking place, and what actually is the translation department here at the moment?
MashaAllah, translation department basically looks after the needs of English-speaking audience to ensure that the books from Urdu are translated into English. Basically, the deen can be propagated in English as well, and those who cannot understand Urdu, they can also benefit from it. And alhamdulillah, we are working on various projects at the moment. A few of them, the monthly magazine of Dawat Islami, Mahnama Fezani Medina, that's one of them.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah, we keep working on other books as well. But one of the biggest projects that we've undertaken at the moment is the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, translation of the Holy Quran, the masterpiece work of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, which is known as Kanz al-Iman Sharif. Translation of Kanz al-Iman Sharif has been done, which will soon be published in the form of book as well. It's available online, but inshallah soon will be published through as a book as well. Also, alhamdulillah, translation of Quran, Kanz al-Irfan, which is translated by Mufti Ahl Sunnat, Mufti Qasim Attari, Salamahul Bari. Alhamdulillah, translation work has been completed on that as well. Soon, inshallah, it will be available. And we've also started working on the commentary of the Holy Quran, Siratul Jinan, which is again a masterpiece of Mufti Ahl Sunnat, Mufti Qasim Attari, Salamahul Bari, which comprises of 10 volumes. Alhamdulillah, beautiful commentary of the Holy Quran. So we're working on that as well. And in addition to this, alhamdulillah, many other books are being worked on as well, and many other booklets as well. So soon, inshallah, azawajal, a lot of these works will be available on the website of Dawat Islami as well as in the form of books through Maktabatul Madina as well, inshallah, azawajal.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Jazakallah, Wasim bhai. You know, Wasim bhai, I mentioned that I'm a little bit jealous of you. I'm jealous in the sense that
Alhamdulillah.
Nay, Wasim bhai, I'm here. I'll do a bayan for half an hour or whatever it is, and a few people will watch it and it'll be forgotten. But alhamdulillah, the work that you do, that when you translate a book and that book is translated, then from now, inshallah, to the day of judgment, people will continue reading that book and benefit from them. So I think those people that can offer the services in translation, not only in English. We've seen by basically mentioned English there, but there are 35 different languages that these books have been translated into. If there are any people that translate into any language, then inshallah, please offer your services and earn so much reward as well. Jazakallah, Wasim bhai. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you.
Ameen. Allahumma ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of Madinah Channel, that was Wasim bhai, mashaAllah. He's responsible for our translation department in Dawah Islami here in the UK. And like you said, so much translation is taking place. Our Manama magazine. What is the Manama magazine, you may ask? Dawah Islami has a monthly magazine in that there are various articles, and it's a beautiful magazine. And I cannot stress enough that this magazine should be in every house. This magazine should be in everybody's house. You should have this, you should download it, you should order it and get it delivered to your house. Because in this, it may be about 70, 80 pages, but the quality is amazing. And you know, the idea is that you pick it up, read one article, which will take 4 or 5 minutes, and then read another article. The problem is you pick it up and you don't want to put it down. So please search for Zainuddin Manama magazine, and inshallah, you can order it online, it can be delivered to your house. At the same time, viewers of Madinah Channel, that's just one department of Dawah Islami. Dawah Islami has 107 departments. Viewers of Madinah Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Keep watching Madinah Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.